This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and also from further afield. Now, I'm sure that you don't need me to tell you about the benefits of trees around where we live. They remove pollution from the air, they provide sanctuary and food for birds and all sorts of wildlife, they cool the air on hot days, but they also slow down icy winds on cold days, they make us healthier, they make us happier, and if that wasn't enough, a series of international third-party studies have shown that trees increase property prices in that road by between 5 and 18%. Which might explain why so many people get riled when trees on their street are felled. Now, it's happened in Sheffield, it's happened in Bristol, it's happened in South London, in West London, in Newport, Pagnell, many other places, and it's also happened here in St Albans. Which is why St Albans District Council's new tree strategy, which will cover the management of St Albans District's trees for the next 5 years to 2029, is so important. Will it give better protection to existing trees? Will it provide for new trees? Will it improve communication between the council and the public so that we understand the reasons when our favourite tree is felled? I spoke to Councillor Raj Viswam. He's Vice Chair of the Planning, Policy and Climate Committee and Lead for Climate and also Lead for Trees at St Albans District Council. Councillor Viswam has hailed the new tree strategy as having exciting plans to create a better treescape. So my first question to him was whether he could give us a couple of highlights about the how the new tree strategy would achieve this.
Of course, and thank you for having me, Amanda. We periodically revise our tree strategy looking forward in sort of five-year chunks. So this one is really designed to see us through to 2029. The significance of that is also that we have climate targets set for 2030. So obviously our tree strategy has to align closely with that. What we're aiming to achieve really is better management of our existing trees, many more trees, either through us or through private individuals or through new developments, and increasing our canopy cover. In general, I mean, we're very fortunate here that we have quite a high canopy cover, but obviously we have to maintain that and increase it. One of my interests in the tree population and growth of that is how much it will help the biodiversity and human aspects of that as well. We're now in urban areas, we look consciously looking now for places that provide shade. And for people, again, I think it just contributes to general well-being. There are other sort of things, obviously, around air quality and to some degree also help with some of our blood issues as well. So we really want to push as many trees as we can to the area over the next few years.
Indeed. Now, the tree strategy talks about a change to the tree canopy, as you said, an increasing tree canopy, rather than the balance between number of trees planted and lost, for example. How are you going to measure the tree canopy and the changes to it? And how often will you be making checks on that?
That's not usually measured directly by us. There are companies that go out and do that for you via satellite imaging, drones and what have you. They will be checked periodically. I couldn't say off the top of my head how often that check happens. I would assume it's annually or, you know, at least midway through the strategy to make sure we're on target. With replacements, obviously, we will have a budget to replace trees that are lost through ill health or safety issues. We are encouraging lots of other people to plant trees as well, either private individuals, as I said before, new developers. We will put quite a strong emphasis on tree placement in those areas. And likewise, sort of any sort of areas that are run by other organisations, we will help them as much as we can.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that you're really looking to ensure that new trees are going to be planted. But we all know that the best trees are the ones that we've got already. They're the ones that are really tackling climate change, providing habitat, all those great things. How are you going to ensure that existing trees get better protection?
There's a couple of prongs to that, really. We have only just recently revised our process for issuing tree protection orders. We want to streamline that because it is quite bureaucratic at the moment and to make that whole process a lot faster. So that's good news on that front on the existing trees. One of the key elements here is around revamping our tree warden scheme. So we have a limited number of tree specialists within the council or that we contract to. But especially when we planted replacement trees, what we found is the best chances for them to survive is really keeping a close eye on them. And the best people to do that are the people that look onto them really generally or are in the neighbourhood day in, day out. So they can see if they're thirsty or if they're struggling to establish.
Yes, indeed. So let's talk a little bit more about the tree warden scheme. I mean, it's been nominally running in St. Albans for about 20 years and was, to start off with, tree wardens were given training and regular updates. It has fallen into decline a bit more recently. Can you tell us a bit about how you're going to recruit more tree wardens, as you say, to do some of the essential work that, frankly, officers are not going to get time to do?
And that's one of the things that I noticed when I was given this responsibility, that tree wardens exist theoretically on paper, but they're very low-key at the moment. And I think one of the things that will really help us not just increase the number of trees, but have better quality trees and more success on the trees that we do replace is to have people on the ground doing this. Now, as you said, we don't have many staff to sort of manage giant schemes like that. So what we're looking for at the moment is a voluntary organisation or some body outside of the council that will help us manage. Hopefully all these new volunteers will be coming on stream. So we oversee, if you like, the training and the getting the starting, but the sort of day-to-day activities should be managed by an external body.
Okay, so you're looking for a sort of a volunteer tree warden manager? Is that the kind of thing?
On an individual side, it can be an organisation. I mean, there are plenty of organisations that we will be approaching that are sort of obvious contenders to do this. So that process is due to start now. By the end of the year, we definitely hope to have somebody on board that is prepared to do this and keep an eye on things and escalate things, obviously, to Green Spaces team as required.
And can you just outline the kind of things that you're envisaging that tree wardens do? Obviously, as you've said, things like helping to get new trees established with watering and things like that. What else would you think they would be doing?
Yes, I think we have that as a key issue at the moment. You know, if you notice, some of the new trees that are going in have these sort of bags on the side or a tube on the side ready for watering. So if people can keep those maintained with the right amount of water at the right times, that will really help establish those new trees. Because obviously, quite often that tree is there as a replacement for a well-established, aged tree that has all kinds of benefits. And we want to get the highest number of those trees up to that level. And this is what we think will help. Generally, walking around and looking for things like health and safety issues as well. Some of our established trees, especially in areas that were sort of developments that were built maybe 50, 60, 70 years ago, where those trees looked lovely on the new site, but now are either heading towards the end of life or becoming a little bit unmanageable. So pointing out where it's interfering with roads or houses or actual, you know, danger to life, danger to people as well. The faster we can get those action, the better.
So presumably you'd be looking for people who just wanted to keep an eye perhaps on the trees on their road. They wouldn't have to take on great extensive areas, but just
no, just
eyes and ears on the ground.
I'm hoping that we can be very flexible about this so that, you know, they may just want to look at their road or one block or whatever. Spotting diseases as well is another useful aspect that they can get in there early. And the earlier we can see these things, then the faster we can prevent it from spreading. Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it sounds like you're not quite in a position yet for volunteers to be putting their hand up to say, yes, I want to be tree warden, but you should be sometime in the near future.
Right. I think we do want people to put their hands up at the moment. And what we're asking people to do that have an interest is to email. It's treewardens at stalbans.gov.uk. So basically, we're going to revalidate all our existing tree wardens and produce a list of potential new tree wardens so that we don't have to, whichever organisation is helping us, they don't have to go through a recruitment exercise necessarily before they can get started. We want to have a ready-made list of people that they can approach.
So, of course, there might be many of us out there who, you know, might not want to sign up to be tree wardens, but you have said that communication with the general public about trees is going to be important and you're going to do more of this. Can you just tell us how you're going to do that?
Yes, I think what people see sometimes is suddenly a notice on a tree, say, this tree is going, and they have no idea why. Sometimes a tree can look very healthy on the outside and yet be quite severely diseased and in danger of literally falling over onto the road. So what we're going to do is, A, have more clear signage on the trees explaining what's happening and hopefully the timescale, and then what will be done to remediate that issue. There'll also be a QR code on there where we link people to the more detailed explanation of, you know, the actual report that the tree specialists have done on it, or the reasons why this tree has to be felled, or whatever, the pollarding, whatever's happening there. It will try to explain the reasons behind those actions are. I think people are always very surprised when, you know, a truck turns up and starts making sawing noises in their vicinity. So if the more we can do this, that will ease people's concerns about the activities that go on. The other thing that we're doing at the moment is we have sort of an inspection round generally. We do look after about, I think it's 30,000 trees. So annually we try and get round and sort of do a health check on each of those. And what materializes out of that is sometimes a list of trees that need to be felled for disease or safety reasons. We are sending those out to ward councillors and to sort of local groups to say, in your area, these are the trees that we've identified that will need some action in the coming weeks. So it's prior to even the signs going up, there will be some action going on here, and these are the trees affected.
It's understandable that people are concerned about their trees, and actually really quite lovely that they do care about
yes.
them.
Oh,
that
yes.
is definitely the better way to do it, isn't it? Could you just explain to us the reasons why trees have to be removed? Because you say sometimes it feels like they are beautiful, healthy trees being taken down. Can you give us the reasons why a tree needs to be removed, the criteria you have?
Yeah, generally the criteria revolve around safety. The kinds of diseases that some of our stock have are not visible on the outside until it's too late, quite honestly. Although I said that we will put notices up and QR codes and things, sometimes if a tree hasn't been identified, but it is really an urgent case, you know, if this is just about to fall, we will unfortunately not have time to do all of that communication up front. It's just got to come down. Otherwise, you know, the liabilities that we would face as a council, or the actual human damage that we could cause, is just not tolerable.
Of course, indeed. And could you just tell us who the people are who make the judgment about whether trees should stay or be removed? Presumably these are experts of some kind?
Yes, we have a few employed at the council who are very highly qualified, and not only will they make the judgments on those cases, but they will also make judgments on what kind of replacement should go in there, because people sometimes expect a sort of a like-for-like replacement, and occasionally the reason that tree has to come down is because it was the wrong type of tree. So we're getting to the stage where we may even be able to have a short list, if you like, of potential replacements for a tree that's come out. And if there is a local preference, you know, that we can get their preferred tree out of those suitable varieties, then we'll make every effort to do that. The other expectation that I think I should try and put a limit on, really, is that if a tree comes down, there is no guarantee that a replacement will appear in that spot. The tree may have come down from that spot for reasons of its location, and it may not be the best location for a replacement. Also, over the years, over the decades, really, many other sort of services, if you like, for residents or infrastructure have been put in, things like cables, just general utilities. So the underground landscape near that tree may not be suitable for a direct replacement in that spot. It may have to shift. that's a sort of expectation that we have to manage very well, because you see, if people see a tree come down and they've been told that there will be a replacement, they may not see it exactly on that spot.
Right, indeed. Councillor Fisdom, thank you very much indeed for explaining that.
That's my pleasure.
I was talking there to Councillor Raj Visram of St Albans District Council. Now, I was hoping that I was going to be able to tell you how you could help the tree canopy near you by getting free trees from Hertfordshire County Council to plant in your garden under the Your Tree, Our Future scheme. However, all of this year's trees have already been allocated and will be ready for collection in December. But if you are keen to benefit from next year's scheme, then you can sign up to be the first to hear about it on the Hearts County Council website. I'll put the link into the notes that accompany the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And tree warden scheme or no tree warden scheme, and in spite of what might feel like a wet summer, there are many newly planted verge trees that are looking very sad and very thirsty at the minute. So if you are able to fill up a few old bottles with some washing up water and give the tree a really good soak, then that might just be what it needs to pull it back from the brink and allow it to do all those amazing things that trees do for many years to come. A really good soak once a fortnight is better than the odd bottle of water every day, and one of those watering brows on the tree should really allow that water to soak slowly and deep into the soil. So are you planning on planting a tree in your garden or outdoor space this year? What do you have your eye on? Something with flowers on? Something with fruit on? Something to look lovely all year? I mean, hopefully all trees look lovely all year, but you know what I mean. I'd love to hear what you've got planned. Get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yourworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I will be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.